This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. And we begin today's program with one simple rule. No barbarian jokes. Arnold Schwarzenegger made my last name a laughingstock, but I am hardly alone. A lot of people, their names are a source of embarrassment or even agony. Cashmere, Sparkle, Versace, Whisper, Cappuccino. Whimsical parents can doom their children to unending ridicule on the playground and a lifetime spent answering really dumb questions like, what kind of name is that? And what were they thinking? Later in the program, a 35-year-old tutorial on economics ends on TV tonight. Tomorrow night, Bob Barker's last The Price is Right. But first, what's in a name? If you've been forced to shoulder the burden of a moniker that makes everybody giggle or groan or laugh out loud, our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. And you can also join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. And let's see if we can get a caller on the line. This is Charlie. Charlie's with us from Central Valley of California.
Yeah, I'm going to start off. Thanks for taking my call. I don't actually have a particularly peculiar name, but I've got an interesting sort of name story.
Go ahead.
Names have never, for me, I've never had a great attachment to them. I have my name, but I don't die and live by it. Recently, I took my wife's name, and so I have now hyphenated last name, which is a probably going to be a plague to my children, but it makes ordering pizzas a lot easier. So it serves as a 5-letter English name, and mine is a 12-letter German name. So at any rate, but the story I wanted to share with you was I'm the fourth son of my parents, and for some reason they waited to name me after my father, and I took his name Ernest. But upon taking it, it never stuck. It never stuck for my family. It never stuck for me. And I went through a series of names when I was young. I was called Yogi and this and that and some other names. Finally, one day I came home and when I was 4.5, 5 years old. I said, I want to be Charlie. And I took the name Charlie, and they went through the legal process, incorporated it into my name. And I lived with it. It sometimes, to my chagrin, it's a great name, but not that interesting. But
on the other hand, Ernest, all those Ernest Goes to Camp movies, that couldn't have been no
fun.
Yeah,
I probably was spared all that. But yeah. Anyway, 40 years later, my father, who I failed to mention, was adopted. His mother, my grandmother, passed away, and 40 or 50 years later, I should say, and he was checking through some records and came across his original birth certificate. And lo and behold, his original name wasn't Ernest, but his original name was Charlie.
No.
I picked his name out of the randomness of life and lived with it for 40 years. And so where I was originally given his second name in life and rejected it, I actually chose his original name in life and lived with it for 40-some years. So that's my story about name.
Charlie, thanks very much for the call.
All right. Thank
you. Joining us now is Strawberry Saroyan. Her work has appeared in the New York Times, the New York Times Magazine, and The Believer. She's the author of the memoir Girl Walks Into a Bar. She's with us from NPR West in Culver City, California. Nice to have you on the program today.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
Strawberry, even Oprah made fun of you.
That is true. That is true. It kind of was a nice icebreaker with Oprah. I interviewed her a couple of years ago, and as I got on the phone, I heard a faint rendition of Strawberry Fields Forever. And kind of in shock, I asked Oprah, and she said, hi, it's me.
Well, she's one,
that was
to talk.
One of the, yeah, right? That was one of the fun moments of having a name that's unusual.
And how did you end up with that name for a fruit?
You know, actually, everybody assumes that it was my parents who, I was born in 1970, so it was certainly the height of the countercultural hippie movement, and they were very much a part of that. But actually, the person who suggested it was my grandmother, who just had a very kind of whimsical sense of style, and she thought it would be a pretty name, and my parents agreed.
And as I understand it, in childhood, it had some upsides and some downsides.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I grew up in an unconventional little community called Bolinas, California, which was filled with poets, who, a lot of whom had moved out of Manhattan into this little rural town.
Strangers who didn't grow up there might have called them beatniks.
Yes, exactly.
Uh-huh.
And people like Bob Creeley and Lawrence Ferlinghetti, and my father's a poet. And so there was a lot of experimental kind of living going on, and also a lot of creative people there. So a lot of the other children also had unusual names. So it wasn't like, you know, living in a suburban community and everybody else named Allie and Jane, you know?
Reading a piece you wrote for the New York Times, there were kids down the street named Ivory, Shelter, and Wonder, and other friends named Ocean, Raspberry, and Echo. So Strawberry seems pretty normal.
Yeah. Yeah. In that context, it wasn't too bad.
I understand, though, you got into trouble when you and the other kids were making fun of Wonder.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that was like one of those moments you remember. You were terrified as a child. I don't know really what I thought would happen, but when the other kids would make fun of me, my sister's name is Cream.
Mm-hmm. Oh no!
So,
you're Strawberry and Cream.
Yeah.
I
know, and so that actually starts to verge on kind of insanity. But so basically, when we would be made fun of, we had a lot of ammo because these other kids also had funny names to make fun of as well.
I see.
And so we started calling Wonder Wonder Bread. And she had, which we didn't really think anything of, except for she had this mother who was kind of mysterious. I remember her as just always staying in her house. Like, she was one of those kind of characters that you really don't know about as a child, and you kind of wonder why she's just always inside.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so she ventured outside all the way, walked all the way to our house. It was like, you know, a dirt road. It was like a very kind of countrified situation, and they were at the end of the road, and I just remember being terrified that this woman, I didn't know what she would do to us, you know, and she came to the door and she knocked, and it was kind of like Boo Radley coming to your house, you know. It was really, really terrifying, and she just basically had a talk with my mother, I think, which was kind of like, you know, the kids mm-hmm. are really hurting her feelings.
And I'm sure the scars have healed by now.
Yes.
But then you moved from Bolinas to what you describe as a super preppy town in Connecticut, and things, I suspect, were different there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what I did, this is, I guess, a preemptive strike. I was 13 years old, and I just decided to change my name. Just outright change it. I didn't change it legally, but I called myself Kara for 3 years, which is the length of the time that we lived there.
Because you knew that this would be just, you know, a problem if you
I just thought
Strawberry.
Absolutely. I just thought, you know, this is not going to fly. I'm just, and I was starting high school, and I just thought, let me just take some of the burden off the intense
and
pressure.
And where did you get Kara from? Irene Kara?
You know, that was part of it, and like mortifyingly enough, you know, I really loved Fame and what, you know,
I'm gonna live forever. Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
so I loved all that stuff, and then also there was a really like this girl who was in my junior high class. She also was named Kara, and I always kind of thought she was cool. She spelled it with a K. I spelled it with a C. So I think it was like a combination of things. But
and when did you decide to go back to Strawberry?
Well, it was my senior year of high school. We moved back to California. Thankfully, and I was really happy about that. And I believe it was kind of a spontaneous decision on the first day of school. I went to every class, and they called out my name as Kara. And I guess it was sort of like a trial by fire, but in every single class, I'd say, no, actually, my name is Strawberry. And after that, it was a really kind of a liberating thing, I have to say. It was like just kind of going back to who I really was in this way, which did kind of test me in terms of having to really proclaim that in front of 30 people five times in one day was kind of a big deal.
And you have the double whammy, of course. So you have a famous last name. Your grandfather was the great writer, William Saroyan.
Right.
And how does that play in that you know, does one name deflect from the other?
Well, my mother had a great kind of take on this. She basically said, when my book came out, I got, you know, various publicity kind of things go on. And I was on page 6, and it was like some kind of, you know, really light thing about like all the famous people I mentioned in my book, which is really not what my book is about at all. It's like one page, mentions a couple people. But she said, you know, and there was a picture of me, and it was just kind of like a light take on who I was. And she said, you know, the thing is that, yeah, they basically, it's nice because it balances out You know, the if I was named Strawberry Smith, it might be like, you know, people could kind of write it off. But also, if I'm just named Jane Saroyan, it's sort of a bit like all about the Saroyan name, you know?
So you get a little bit of both. That works out good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. It does.
Well, I know from writing your piece that I won't be the first to say, nice to eat you.
Oh, no. All right. I don't really know how to respond to that.
Strawberry.
That was, what?
I was just going to say thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Strawberry Saroyan joined us from NPR West in Culver City, California. Let's see if we can get a caller on the line. And this is Blue. Blue's with us from Louisville, Kentucky.
Hi.
Hi. Blue is your name?
Yes.
Born that way?
Well, that is my given name.
Ah.
Yeah, I was, well, the story is I was born on a blue moon. At least the modern.
The second full moon of a month.
Yes. Yeah, the modern one. Yeah. Yeah, and in fact, just a few weeks ago was my blue moon birthday.
Uh-huh, because there was another blue moon just last week, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So your name was Blue. You weren't named after the baseball pitcher Blue Moon Odom?
No. I was born in 69 as well. So, you know, it was more of a lunar thing.
Uh-huh. And how's it worked out for you?
Pretty well. I mean, I'm a musician, so it's really a really good name for a musician.
And so people, it sticks to, and as far as you're concerned, it's an attraction. It's not in any kind of a detriment.
Oh, yeah, right now. Well, I mean, of course, like sixth grade, it was a detraction.
Sixth grade is a tough time. Almost everything's a detraction
right,
in sixth grade.
Well, and it was doubly hard because my last name is Murphy, and that was the year that the Smurfs came out.
Ah, Blue. Yeah, sure. Yeah, that could be tough.
Well, to this day, if I saw one, I would probably step on it. But
a lot of us would. We just watched it with our children. Thanks very much, Blue Moon. Good luck.
All right, thank you.
Here's an email from Darth in Honda, California. I'm a 31-year-old woman. I was named Darth nearly 2 years before the first Star Wars movie came out. Although I was tortured in elementary school for my name, as an adult I've come to appreciate it. It seems to be a good icebreaker, and people seldom forget my name as they might just another Jennifer. We're talking about unusual names this hour and the burden we're all forced to carry. 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. We'll be back after the break. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're talking about people who at some point in their lives could not stand their own names, which means most of us probably. There's now another concern for parents, Google. An article in the Wall Street Journal explains that parents want their kids to be searchable online. Name the new baby John Smith, and he'll be buried in millions of results, but Colder Wilson might show up at the top of the page, which might give them an advantage later in life, or so the argument goes. You can read more about that online. There's a link to the article on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Do you hate your name, or maybe struggle to find a unique name for your kids, one that won't get them beaten up on the playground? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org, and you can send us your stories on our blog. Again, that's npr.org/blogofthenation. Here's a comment from Susan on our blog. When I was growing up, I knew a Copper Penny, a Hollywood, and a Rocky Beach. My last name was the subject of some ridicule, Tank. My brother, who was somewhat large, was called Sherman by his friends. Here's another comment from our blog. My name, Talus, pronounced with a flat A and a schwa U, and I think I got that right, gets many questions. It can mean two things, an ankle bone or crumbled boulders on a steep hill. I like to think the latter applies to me. In school, whenever there was a substitute teacher, oh boy, it is never pronounced correctly. Kathy in Charlotte, North Carolina. What's in a name? Usually not much, she says, unless prospective viewers can tell you're black from reading yours on a resume. I wonder how many more interviews I would have gotten had my dad gotten his wish to name me Helga after an early elderly German woman who befriended him when he was in the service. I named my own child an African name that looks similar to a newly common white name, only it's pronounced differently. This way she gets the best of both worlds. We honor our heritage and she can pass the initial resume review. Let's see if we can get another guest on the line. Joining us now is Gaiman Wong. She works in capital and finance in the Division of Budgets for Caltrans in Sacramento, California. She joins us today from the studios of member station KXJZ in Sacramento. Nice to have you on the program today.
Hi, Neil.
Gaiman
How
Wong.
Are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Gaiman Wong, though, this you again have the double whammy.
Yes, I do.
First, let's go with the first name, Gayman. People see that spelled out G-A-Y-M-A-N, and I assume hilarity ensues.
Yes. All my life I've had people ask me about my name almost every single day of my life. And it is a great icebreaker, by the way.
It is a great icebreaker, but where does it in fact come from?
Well, when I was born, my mother wanted to name me Renee, and my father hated that name. So she said, well, I think I'll name her Gayman. And I think she says that she chose that name because she was reading French novels at the time, and mm-hmm. I think she thought it sounded French. And I was born on Bastille Day.
Ah, and Gamine so, is a waif of the streets.
A waif of the streets. Yeah, I looked like a little waif when I was born.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And so she changed the spelling, and so now my name is uniquely my own.
All right, enough of a burden, and then you marry a man named Wong.
Yes, my maiden name is Miller, and having the name Gayman Miller was enough trouble on the playground. But as an adult, I married my husband, and now my name is Gayman Wong, and that causes new problems.
Because you're not a man, and you're not Chinese.
No. When people see my name, they assume that I'm a man and that I'm Chinese. And so when I go for a job interview or if I go somewhere to talk and people don't know who I am or what I look like, when they see me, they're bowled over. They're really surprised.
Really surprised, because you should describe yourself.
Well, I'm blonde-haired, blue-eyed, and I don't look Chinese. And I'm female, so it just shocks them when they see me.
I'm sure you've had the experience of, you know, they're looking straight at you and they look around the room, Gayman Wong? Gayman Wong?
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That happens all the time. And I do have people look at me for a long time and then they'll say, is your husband Chinese?
They'll finally figure it out.
Sometimes I say no.
just to mess with their heads.
Just to mess with their heads, and then I'll say, yeah, he is.
It's been an interesting life, I suspect.
It has. It has. When I was little, the kids did make fun of me. They really never twisted my name around. They would just make fun of the name. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't say Gayman Heyman or anything like mm-hmm. that. They would just... You have to remember, I was born at a time when most little girls were named Kathy, Cheryl, Debbie, Susie.
Hmm.
And then here comes Gayman. So you can imagine.
I don't think it's terribly popular even now.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's good and bad, because when you see my name, it's me. It is me.
It's you.
And so you have to, that could be either good or bad.
No, it's the other Gayman Wong who did that terrible thing, not me.
Yes, the other Gayman Wong who did that. But you know, it's great on Google, because I'm the first name that comes up.
That
and
is,
it's me when you Google me.
That's interesting. Do you have children?
I do. I have two daughters.
And what did you name them?
I named my first daughter Chelsea. And that's because my husband and I were married in Chelsea, London, England.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason why we named her Chelsea. And my second daughter's name is Holly, and that's because she was born on Christmas Eve.
So, but much more common names. Not exactly,
yes.
You know, in the top of the list, but much more common names. So you suspect that they'll have an easier time of it on the playground?
I think so. I think they've had a pretty easy time with their name. But it's been really difficult for me. The first thing that people say when they meet me is, where did you get that name? Is that your real name?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever thought of changing it? What was your mother thinking?
What was your mother thinking?
Like...
There's a lot of those. Well, Gayman Wong, thanks so much for being with us and for sharing your burden.
Oh, my pleasure.
Gayman Wong works in capital and finance at the Division of Budgets at Caltrans in Sacramento, California, with us today from the studios of KXJZ in Sacramento. And let's get another caller on the line. This is Michelle. Michelle with us from Dayton, Ohio.
Yes. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Yes. I have three daughters, and they're all named after their father. His name is John. We didn't have any boys. So I have a Johnique, a Jasmine Dejan, and a Jonica. And my oldest is 19. She hated her name growing up because on paper, everybody would call her Johnny Q.
Johnny Q, yes. Yes. I can understand that.
Because it's spelled J-O-H-N-I-Q-U-E.
Uh-huh.
Now she likes it because it's unique, but growing up she hated her name.
Uh-huh. And I wonder, is she old enough to think about having children of her own?
Yes, just yesterday she said that all her children will have plain names.
All of them will have plain names. I'm sure it's no judgment upon you.
Yes.
Michelle, thanks very much for the call.
Okay,
and
thank you.
Good luck with the grandchildren.
Okay, bye.
So long. Let's go now to, this is Monroe. Monroe with us from Manhattan.
Well, Neil, it's good to talk to you. I listen to you every day now. I'm a WBAI loyal listener for 47 years.
You'd have to be just about that old to remember when I was on WBAI, many years ago.
In fact, at one point you were looking for an apartment and there was an empty one in my building on 125th Street.
Is it still free?
No.
All right. Well,
it's renovated now.
Ah, well, it might be even better. Monroe, though.
It is, but it's more expensive.
Yeah, that's New York
for you. When I came to the building, it was like $30 a month. Anyway, my name is Monroe. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, the problem I've had is that when people would remember or you know, meet me, they'd say, oh, Monroe Doctrine. You know?
Uh-huh.
And then, because I'm 76 and a half now, I had the name Monroe before Marilyn Monroe. But a lot of people, the name Monroe immediately gets them in the head. Marilyn Monroe, that sexy babe.
You know, uh-huh.
Wonderful actress.
So this has
so,
been.
So I mean, I've like had a double barrel, and just this morning, my mother said, you know, we're talking about things, and she said my grandmother was the one who suggested the name Monroe.
On the basis of what?
Well, she just liked the name, but it hadn't been put in the hopper, you know, as a possibility. And the terrible irony is that my grandmother, who was a teacher. Denied my mother the right to go to college, even though she was an outstanding student.
Hmm.
So I have this mixed sense of my grandmother.
Hmm.
You understand?
Yeah, I do. I can...
Now, listen, I wish you the best of everything. You do a wonderful job, and I think the way your group works to get angles on things is wonderful.
I think it is, too. But
I mean, you're doing outstanding radio, let me say it to you. I hope the people at WBAI, well, I hope they hear about this, but I hope they don't, you know, give me a needling that I wasn't listening
to them.
The programs on BAI.
Well, I think they'll forgive you just this once.
Okay, well, carry on.
Monroe, thanks very much for
bye,
the call.
Bye.
Here's another email, this one from Corinne in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Naming your daughter after a city or a state can lead to problems for her later in life. My step-grandmother had the first name Arizona, a beautiful name in my opinion, but when she married my grandfather, whose last name was Killings, she turned into a headline, Arizona Killings. Thanks very much for that. If you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. There's another side to naming as well. Parents often struggle with what to name their kids. It's that delicate balance between trying to come up with something original and making sure the name won't just cause more problems for their kids later on. Joining us now is Michelle Botis. She's the mother of four children and a job developer at a career development program in Boston, Massachusetts. She's with us on the phone from her home there. Nice to talk with you.
Hello, good morning, good afternoon, how are you?
I'm well. And what are your children's names?
My children's names are Asia LeKay, Alicia Chanel, Kalima Michelle, and Denzel Elijah.
And those are beautiful names.
Thank you.
But why did you pick them specifically?
Okay, well, Asia, she's the oldest, and when she was born, she had the most beautiful eyes that were slanted, oval-shaped eyes, and the first thing that came to my mind was Southeast Asia.
Uh-huh.
So, hence, I named her Asia. And my middle name is Kay, and I was trying to be creative, so I put it at the L to the K. When Alicia was born, I wanted to continue with that geographical theme,
mm-hmm.
but I also wanted to give her a name that began with an A and ended with an A because of Asia.
So there would be a match.
Yeah, so what we did, we, you know, looked on the map, and we thought Malaysia was beautiful, and we took off the M.
Uh-huh.
So her name is just like Malaysia without the M.
And Denzel Washington?
Well, no, that's my father's name.
Huh.
My dad's name is Denzel Botis. He's Denzel. He was the first Denzel that I knew. And, you know, I wanted to name my son after my dad, so I named him Denzel. It's spelled differently than Denzel Washington. And the funny thing is, my son had no idea who Denzel Washington was until at his after-school program they were doing this project, and he would get upset when people called him Denzel Washington. He's like, I'm not Denzel Washington. And they encouraged him to do some research, and he did. He found out who Denzel Washington was. And when they presented this this performance, my son played Denzel Washington, so now he understands that. But that's how his self-concept is and has been developed, that he does not identify with anyone, you know, but himself as being Denzel, my son.
As somebody who's been in, works in broadly human resources, I know you're aware of studies that suggest that some kids with identifiably African-American names do not get as many job interviews as if they were named Kimberly or even Muffin.
Well, absolutely. Some of the research that I read of show that for applicants with black names, they get about a 2% callback. Whereas with you know, normal European names, and excuse me for using the word normal.
Yeah. Okay.
They get about 5% callback. But I'm one of those that feel that. It doesn't, you know, there's more to it than the name. You know, I think about how for generations, as immigrants came into this country, we had people that were Jews that were changing their names. We had Italians that were changing their names. You know, so, you know, it's been a custom. It's been something that we've been doing for years. However, I think today we are becoming a more as we become a more culturally diverse society. And a lot more folks are sensitive to the diversity of, you know, the people that live in this country. And the other piece is that I think a lot of hiring managers and a lot of HR people are of that generation.
Ah, so this is going to improve with time, you think?
Absolutely.
Michelle Botis, we thank you for your optimism. And Michelle's a beautiful name, too.
Well, thank you. Let me just add one more thing. For my children, I think not only, you know, it's important for them to have a unique name, but developing their social skills, their interpersonal communication skills, and making sure that they get a good education, including, you know, a higher education, all these will factor in. And I am totally confident in my children's career success and their success as individuals in general.
Thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Michelle Botis, a job developer at a career development program in Boston, a mother of four. She joined us on the phone from her home in Boston. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get Venus DeMore on the line. Venus is calling us from San Francisco.
Hi.
Hi. Venus, I'm sure you never get any questions about that.
Oh, never. People just accept it face value. Yes, I've been asked if I'm a dancer, an actress. It's been hard to live up to at times. But I remember after giving birth to my daughter, several hours afterwards, a nurse had come in and I said, what's going on? They said, I'm actually not your nurse, but I saw that there was a Venus DeMore in this room and I wanted to come in and see you. And I just thought, you've got to be kidding me. I just gave birth like a few hours ago. I'm not ready to be seen yet.
And what did you name your child?
Ever.
Ever DeMore.
Well, her last name is her father's last name, even though I rallied hard for DeMore because I think it's a fantastic last name.
It is a fantastic last name.
She got her father's last name.
It could have been worse. You could have gotten Obo DeMore, but anyway.
I could have. Thankfully, I didn't.
Thanks very much for the...
Absolutely. Thanks.
So long. Just wanted to read some emails. We got Scott on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. I went to college with a girl named Jenna Four, J-E-N-I, the number four. No kidding. Apparently, her mother liked the name Jennifer and her father liked the number four. This from Kevin. I was born in 1952. My father decided to name me Kevin, not because he wanted a son, but because he said it was his grandmother's name in Ireland. I get asked about it every single day of my life, at least twice. I have to prove my identity to credit card companies companies and banks every time I call. I recently realized with this new passport policy that my birth certificate says I'm a boy. I'm not sure what to do about that one. It's a great icebreaker, so I don't mind it so much anymore, except for the fact that I don't have a better story than the one my dad gave me. This from Nathan in Utah. My wife's name is Charisma. She got through all the childhood teasing by telling the other kids that her name was in the dictionary, was theirs. She also feels her name helped her get into law school. Personally, I love her name. Well, thank you all for your contributions to What's in a Name. Coming up, the economic lessons from 35 years of The Price is Right. What did you learn from Bob Barker? 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, email talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.